As you know, if you've been here for the last few weeks, or for most of the summer, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. And today, Denny Ferguson is going to come and share with us in Matthew chapter 7.
Thank you, Pastor Perry. Grace, you can go ahead and start the PowerPoint. Hopefully it works. Before I get started, I want to share something that just popped out at me this morning in my devotional. And it will flow into what I'm going to be sharing about, I think. But we've all heard definitions of love. This is the best definition of biblical love I've read in a long, long time. And it's a quote by Jean Vanier. Love is to reveal the beauty of another person to themselves. Love is to reveal the beauty of another person to themselves. And I'm sure we all have areas in our life that we are don't feel loved or don't see the beauty of the love that's in us. And that's one of the purposes, I think, of love. When we love somebody, we're going to reveal to them the beauty that God has put in them. So with that, we'll take a look at Matthew 7 and realize that the chapters 5 through 7, Matthew 5 through 7, happened very soon after Jesus' temptation in the desert. And he came out of the desert and began to minister in Galilee. And very soon it was the Sermon on the Mount. And I believe the Sermon on the Mount kind of set the tone for Jesus' ministry in terms of who he was and what he wanted to do. The Old Testament talks about, and there are many quotes, but I'll use the one in Ezekiel, I give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And that's really what Jesus came to do, was to take that heart of stone, that hardened heart that we have, and give us a new heart and a new spirit. That was from him. And I think the Sermon on the Mount, those three chapters, set the tone for what that should look like. What does it look like to live out of a new heart and a new spirit? And so, hopefully this will work. So Matthew 7, 1 through 5 is what I'm going to be talking about. It's a very familiar passage. I'm sure you've heard it quoted by Christians and non-Christians. Do not judge. Okay? Do not judge is the first part of the first verse. And my question to you, really think that we're not to judge? I don't think so. I make hundreds of decisions every day in my life that are based on judgment. That involves driving, eating, whatever my activities are, where I go, the people I talk to. So it's not an issue of judging. It is part of what we do as Christians and what everybody does. We just need to do it from a Christian perspective, which is totally different than what the world does. And the second part of that is, because I judge, and because God wants me to judge, and part of life, that realize that not only am I going to judge, but I'm going to be judged. And that should put a whole different tone on their things. I should put a whole different tone on the way that I judge. For the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And so the issue is not the fact of judgment that I judge, that I'm going to be judged. It's about the way that we judge. We're to judge from that new heart and that new spirit. Not from a worldly way of judging or a way that I think I need to judge, because with the same measure that I use to judge, it's going to be measured back to me. So it's more about the way I judge rather than judgment. And I think that's really, really what Jesus is getting at here. It's not the fact that we don't judge, it's the way we judge. How do I judge a person? What is the reason I'm judging you? What is the reason I judge you? I do judge you. If you don't think you judge people, may God help you to realize that you do. And so it's about the way that I judge somebody. And that plays, I think, directly into the quote that I shared. That in judging you, I need to make sure that my heart is coming from the right place. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? To judge somebody without looking at my own life is where the issue lies. It's to judge whatever you're doing that I think needs to be judged. And typically when we think of judgment, we think of negative. To realize judgment can be positive. You can judge positively. That's what the quote I read says, judge positively. Okay. Or we can judge in a negative way. But typically we look at judgment in a negative way. We look at, I judge you, and if you feel judged, it's usually from a negative perspective. We don't look at a positive in your life as being a positive judgment. And so there's that issue of the way that we look at this and the way we do it. And if I'm not willing to look at my own life, if I'm not willing to judge myself, if I'm not willing to look at my own shortcomings, then I need to be very, very careful about how I look at your shortcomings. Very careful. Because the reality is, if I'm not looking at my life, I'm going to tend to be a little critical and harsh about judging you. And the reality is, I need to be merciful and graceful in the judgment toward you. What is my motive for judging you? Is it to make me look better than you? Is it give me a feeling of superiority because I think I'm better than you? I think if we really dig down deep into our motives, we might find that might be a little bit of a motive for judging in a negative way, so that I feel good about myself. So I think there's a little bit of superiority. I'm a little better than you are because I don't do that. You know, there's a saying that goes around that don't judge me because my sin is different than your sin. But I think we do sometimes. And it's something we need to evaluate. It's something we need to look at about our lives and about the way we walk and about the way we treat others. Am I really looking to bring the beauty of the Spirit of God in you out? Is that really why I'm judging you? Because that's what I need to be doing. I need to be looking at how do I bring the beauty of the Lord in you into the forefront so that not only are you aware of it, but others are aware of it. Because it's there. It is absolutely there. In all of us. In all of us, it is there. And sometimes we like to beat ourselves up so bad that we don't think it's there. And we need the encouragement of others to say, no, yeah, you might have screwed up, but guess what? I've screwed up too. We'll just, you know, take it to the Lord, repent, receive His love and forgiveness, and we'll just move on and let Him grow us and change us. Because the beauty is still there. I think sometimes we like to think part of Christianity is being perfect. I really do. I really think there's something deep down in us and say, I'm a Christian, I need to be perfect. Get rid of that. Absolutely get rid of that. It's not about you being perfect. You're never going to be perfect. It is not going to happen. It's about love. It's about bringing the beauty out so others can see it, and bringing the beauty out so you can see yourself as beautiful. Because I want to tell you, if you really grab a hold of that, if you really let that form deep down in your heart and your spirit, it will begin to change you. And the things you don't like about yourself, they'll begin to melt away. Love always, always brings positive change, transformation in your life. It is the only thing that will. The love of God is the only thing that will change you. You can't change yourself. You may think you can. You can't. No way you can transform your heart. No way you can transform your spirit. That's God's work. That's Jesus' work on the cross. But when we can learn to walk in the love that He gave us by that, then we learn to walk in a different way. And I learn to relate to you in a different way. It's not coming from a place of judgment. It's not coming from a place of ignoring the plank in my eye so I can take the speck out of your eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in yours? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. There's only one group of people that Jesus called hypocrites. And I don't want to be one of them. The Pharisees, who thought they were better than others, who set the standard of what behavior should look like and said, this is what you have to do, but chose not to do it themselves. That's a hypocrite. And so when I judge you without looking at my own life, when I judge you without looking in a negative way, we're talking about in my own life, without looking at my life, I've become a hypocrite. I've become like one of them. Because I'm expecting a behavior on you without looking at my own negative behavior. And that's exactly what the Pharisees did. So it's a place of not wanting to do that. It's a place of not being judgmental in a negative way without looking at my own life. It is the basis of grace. It is the basis of love for that to be the gospel. First me. First me. First, get your act together. And by that I mean allowing the Lord to act upon you. And then you can reach out to others. And you can help them if they have a problem. Because I'm not coming from a place of negative judgment. I'm coming from a place, God has something better for you. You can live a more whole and free life. There was another quote I used in Sunday school that kind of directly relates to judging and non-judging. And it comes out of Terry Wardle's new book. And he stands on the bank of the Ohio River, and he starts thinking about looking across in Kentucky, and he goes back to the Civil War and realizes that the African Americans on that side were in bondage, families torn apart, they were owned, they didn't have any kind of freedom, whatever. But if they were on his side of the Ohio River, they were free. But this is the thought that came to him. What happens if somebody, an African American, made the treacherous trip across that Ohio River and became free, but didn't live like it. Do you know that's our challenge? Every one of us in this room are free. Do we live like it? Do we live in the freedom that Jesus Christ has brought to our lives? Now, that freedom doesn't mean you're free to do anything you want. It's not what we're talking about. But I'm free from the bondage of sin, and I'm free of the bondage of the enemy. I'm free that I don't have to judge you harshly or critically. I'm free that I can have the ability to bring out the beauty of who you are to you and to others. It's part of who we are. Learning to walk in that can be a challenge. I want to share a story, how Jesus put this into practice. And you probably know what that story is if you've looked at the background. Okay? I don't think I put it on the slide. Oh, I did put it on the slide. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. Do you think they really cared about that woman? Not a bit. They weren't interested in her. They weren't interested in restoring her. They weren't interested in any healing that needed to take place. They weren't interested in any relationship. She was being used. She was being used in order to try and trap Jesus. Did it decide to die on me? Oh, I think it did. Yeah, it did. Isn't that what we just talked about in judging? Looking at the speck of your and not the plank in mine. Am I really concerned about you if I'm not looking at my own issues? Or am I just wanting to make myself look a little bit better than you? It's what we come out of. It's the way we're taught in the world. We're taught in the world to do that. I have to be better than you. I have to perform better than you. I have to measure up more than you do in order to feel good about myself. It is the standard of the world. Okay? And it is an impossible task. It will lead you to burnout. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. There's a lot of supposition about that. People have various ideas about what he was writing. I'll come back and I'll tell you what I think he was writing. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left and the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" Let's go back to what I think Jesus was writing. I think he was scribbling in the ground every one of their sins. And they watched him write those sins and they said, "Oh. Oh. What right do I have to judge her, because this is my sin?" He was causing them to look at their own life before accusing her. He brought it around and turned it around to, "Let's make it about you first. Let's make it about your heart. Let's make it about your spirit. And when we do that, can you now judge her?" And the answer was no, they couldn't. No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. And there's a lot of question about that. Like, there was no, where's the, did she get off scot-free just by saying, don't do that anymore? Do you know something? She really didn't get scot-free. Can you imagine standing in a public forum and having your sin exposed? Especially her sin? That was punishment enough for her. If you want to look at punishments for sin, I don't happen to look at sin. I don't happen to think that we need to be punished for sin. Okay. We need to be aware of it. We need to be discipled into changing it. But punishment doesn't change me. It does not change me. And so punishment would not have changed her. What changed her was the fact that my sin has become made public, and I probably don't want to live that way anymore. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Hey, just go and don't do it. There was a shift. There was a change. I want to take you through an activation. And you're free to do it. You're free not to do it. It's part of the grace that God gave you. If you'd like to close your eyes, that's fine. If you don't want to close your eyes, that's fine. But I would like to take you back and see if you can put yourself into this story. Can you imagine yourself there? Can you imagine being there in a public forum, dirt floor, dusty? You can imagine a woman being drug in. Probably not escorted nicely, but drugged and thrown to the floor and accused. I would ask you, is there anyone that you've kind of treated that way? Is there anyone that you have judged that way? If there is, if anyone comes to mind, I would ask you right now to ask the Lord to forgive you for that judgment. Because that's all it takes. Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to be that kind of person. And then I want you to ask the Lord, what would you say to me about that person? How do you see them, Lord? How do you see that person? Who are they in your spirit, Lord? And then I just want you to say, Lord, I release them to your grace. I release them to you, Lord. And to help me change the way I see them. Help me, Father, see the beauty of you inside of them. Help me to bring that beauty out to themselves and to others. Help me be an instrument, Lord, for your growth in them. And your growth in me. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you do not condemn us. I thank you, Lord, that your heart, before we ever born, Lord, was to set us on a path. To set us on a path, Father, of wholeness and freedom. Not the freedom a world defines, but the freedom of being who you created us to be. And all that that means. The security that we have in you. The love that you shower upon us. The way that you understand us. The way that we're secure in you. And the purpose that you've given for our lives. May you continually reveal that to us, Lord. And we be solid, Father, in that foundation of you as a child of God. And that, Lord, when it comes down to it, that is enough. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Danny.